Hello and a warm welcome to the Postcast. It's the Racing Post's weekend preview show. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined this week by Robbie Wilders and Mark Boylan to look ahead to some competitive TV action. It's not the most star-studded weekend by any means, let's not kid ourselves, but hopefully some decent bets. The ITV cameras are at Newmarket, they're at Beverley and at Goodwood, and they're also staying on at Goodwood and Beverley for a bonus show on Sunday, so that's good. Right, we'll start off with Beverley's big meeting of the year on Saturday. They've got three races on ITV, the first of which is the 1:30. It's the Joe Rowntree Memorial Handicap. The trip is 7.5 furlongs, and I am looking at the best bets button on the Racing Post website, and that tells me that the 11-4 favourite is Outrun the Storm. It's 4-1 Majestic, 11-2 It Just Takes Time, 15-2 Bar. Robbie, you can go first. Kick us off with a winner.
I must admit, I was hoping you wouldn't come to me first, Bruce, because I find this one really hard to get stuck into. There's no one really catching my eye, so I think I might pass this over to Mark.
Oh, blimey, a very tepid start. But that's fine. Well done, Robbie. You don't need to be punting away on absolutely everything. So we'll see if Mark fancies one here.
Yeah, I thought Tangled could be a bit of value at around 12-1 there, which are four places each way. Classy horse in his day for Richard Hannan, but low-key handicapper now for Gemma Tutty, a trainer who's making a good impression with her first year with a licence. But three things, I suppose, you like about him here. He loves Beverley. He's won twice over the course and distance, runner-up twice here as well. Headgear, you know, best run this season with the cheek pieces on. They've been off the last twice, but they're trying a first-time visor here. I think that could do the trick. And he's down to the lowest mark in his career. He's running well lately too, so I think you've ticked enough boxes there to like something around 12-1. Tangled hopefully should run a big race.
Lovely stuff. We're off and running. And next up at Beverley's the 205. It's the William Hill Silver Cup, a handicap over 1.2 miles. Weight to Excel is the favourite at roughly 2-1. These are all very, very approximate prices. Shop around, as always, for best odds and best place terms. 5-2 Post Impressionist, 3-1 Kitsune Power, and 7 Bar. Mark, you can go first here.
Quite like Kitsune Power here, Bruce. Plenty went wrong last time at Goodwood, but ran on really well. It was 1.1 miles. Getting up another furlong here, I think that'll suit him. The horse that beat him last time, Ajero, that's a really likeable horse in my book. I've liked him all the way along over hurdles, and now since switching to the flat, he's really, really found new form. I don't think that run for Consumer Power is, you know, it's not one to be looking down on. It's a promising effort. Again, up to the longest trip he's ever faced, I think that can bring out improvement in him. He always does some good late work. And I don't think there's going to be a massive emphasis on stamina here necessarily with the pace in the race. I think he could show his speed that he's been given over shorter trips now that he's up in distance. And Roger Varian, last 11 runners, he had 3 winners in 4 places. So that'll do for me. Katsuna Power, I think he's a solid one.
Okay, Robbie, who's your selection?
Yeah, I quite like Post Impressionist here, Bruce. I mean, he has been a bit disappointed lately. He was a bit in odds on favourite at Chester. And before that, he didn't quite do it at Ascot when he was favourite for the King George Handicap. But on his previous run, he was second to Elder Eldarov. Now, that also obviously came out and won the Queen's Vase. And the third in that's come out and won a novice by 9 lengths. I do wonder if he's had a breathing issue because Haggis has fitted a first-time tongue tie. He's 24% when fitting that age. So I think if he can bounce back, I think he's probably quite well handicapped off a mark of 88.
Okay. The big race at Beverley on Saturday is the 2:40. It's the William Hill Beverley Bullet. It's a listed race over 5 furlongs. And Tis Marvellous, who won it last year in very emphatic style, heads the market at round about 7-2. Caucus 4-1, Existent 15-2, so's King of Stars. 8-1, good old Arecibo, and 10 Bar. Stick with you for this one, Robbie.
Yeah, I'm giving another chance to Corker. I mean, he's got a bad habit of missing the break. He did it terribly at Royal Ascot in the Palace of Holyrood House Stakes handicap. He missed it by about 10 lengths there, but he's only been beaten 3.5. I mean, there's clearly a good horse there, and he's carrying a lot of weight. His latest run, he missed it. It wasn't quite as pronounced at York. He's not been beaten far by Royal Acclaim. I know that horse flopped in the Numthorpe subsequently, but I think it was a good run. If he gets around terms, he's got a big chance. He's drawn in 5 as well. I want a lower draw here. That shouldn't harm him. I think it's tough to win the Beverley Bullet from a wide draw. So, I think Corker Wimps in the best of him, yeah.
Jolly good. And what about you, Mark?
The concern with the start for Corker is what has turned me off. I'm like watching back this race for the last 7-8 years. You know, you need to be not quite even making all, but you need to be in shouting distance of the leaders. Getting behind here, it's not something you can do in the Beverley Bullet typically. And Tis Marvellous is one that we know handles the track. He won it last year. He's well able to race up with them. And as far as I can see, I think himself and King of Stars are the only two that could really, you know, get it to themselves. Maybe getting a rhythm on the front end. Tis Marvellous is £8 better than King of Stars. That suits me. And like, I mean, last time Burrell is marvellous, like he's nine, he's a great horse for his age, but he tried to sit on Nature Strip's tail in the King's Stand and pick him off, and that's like me trying to nutmeg Neil Messi. It ends in tears, like it's not going to happen. But he still wasn't disgraced, I didn't think. Now, his form this season, you can't say it's as good as last season coming into this race, but you know, it's a massive drop in class from taking on the best sprinter in the world to coming to a Beverly Bullet. So I'd be disappointed now if Tiz Marvellous couldn't get the job done, to be honest. He'd be one of my stronger fancies of the weekend.
Brilliant. Very poetically put there, Mark. Well done. Right then, let's zoom across the Newmarket. They've got one race on the ITV menu. It's the 3:15 and it's the Jennings Bet Hopeful Stakes. It's a listed race over 6 furlongs. Great Ambassador heads the market at 7-2. It's Danae 9-2. Good old Summergan 6s. Vardream 13-2. Manakan 7. And 9 bar. Competitive old heat, this. Good old Summergan got it done last Saturday. Can he follow up here, Mark?
I think he can, Bruce. I think this is the most difficult race nearly we'll cover all weekend. And part of it is with the Air Gold Cup looming in the background, because Great Ambassador and Summergan, they're favourite and second favourite for it. You wouldn't have got the impression that it's been a season-long coup to get Summergan to an Air Gold Cup. You know, the way he's campaigned, you know, when he's right, he clicks in those days. But I don't necessarily think it would have been the case. Whereas Great Ambassador, you can make the case from a fair way out that, you know, an Air Gold Cup would be tailor-made for what he'd like to do. Second in the race last year to Bielsa. Well, I mean, just what's given me a little bit of a spook here is that Great Ambassador, they're coming here to take in a race that's not worth huge, huge prize money, and willing to, you know, pick up a £5 penalty here by trying to win this en route to an Air Gold Cup. Like, you know, I'm not in any way suggesting that they wouldn't be trying their best, but you know, you might, if you ran well here, it might set him up nicely for an Air Gold Cup. Whereas Summergan, I think, you know, every day you run with him can be pretty much D-Day. And I thought it was nearly one of the best performances of his career in this race last year. He does handle an ease in the ground. I know he's better on better ground, but I don't think that'll bother him. I just think of the prices, I'd nearly take a chance on Summergan, but it's a race to kind of treat with caution, because just with that Air Gold Cup loom and Great Ambassador, if he picks up a £5 penalty here and he's neck or ahead in an Air Gold Cup, geez, I think they'll be ruined coming here. So just be interested to see how he performs in the day.
Okay, Rob, how do you see it?
I think Mo Salita looks a massive price here at about 20-1. I mean, she has been a shade disappointing in 2 starts this season, but that's been on much quicker ground. She needs soft ground. The rain has come at Newmarket. It's soft at the moment. I mean, it's probably going to dry out to good to soft potentially. But she does need an ease. I mean, you go back a few starts, she was fourth in the Abbey on heavy at Longchamp. I mean, there's loads of good form with a bit of cut in it. Frankie Dettori's up for the first time. I just thought she looked too big at 20-1, to be honest.
Interesting. OK, that's Newmarket and Beverly. We've got Goodwood coming right up.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Mark Boyd and Robbie Wilders. Four races, on ITV on Saturday from Goodwood, starting with the 150, the William Hill Prestige Filly Stakes. It's a Group 3. Fairy Cross, currently favourite at 11-4, 9-2, Queen Ollie, 5, Bright Diamond, 8, Breege and Mottis Font, 9, Candle of Hope and 10, Bar. Very competitive, just the 9 runners. Definitely had a lot of rain at Goodwood. It's currently soft, it may well dry out. But for the first time in a while, Robbie, punters are having to deal with the word soft and just recalibrate how they study races.
It is refreshing, isn't it? I mean, it did absolutely lash it down.
Well, rain certainly is.
Yeah, much needed. I was actually quite enjoyed getting soaking wet on my bike yesterday. But that's another story. I thought Bet Me was interesting here. Quite a big price at about 14-1 for Richard Hannon. I mean, she won a maiden at Goodwood on over 6 furlongs on soft. Absolutely went through the testing ground there very, very easily. I feel like she's probably been a bit underestimated by virtue of a fourth at Sandown on fast ground last time. I think if come back to the surface, she's quite interesting because you go through the sort of top rated runners and all of their runs have come on good to firm good. We just don't know how they're going to handle it. And we know that this horse does. So about 14-1 Bet Me makes a bit of appeal for me.
Okay, who makes appeal for you, Mark?
Yeah, I actually like Fairy Cross here. I do take Robbie's point on the ground because, you know, Bet Me is the only horse to have ran here on any ground that's softer than good to soft, which tells you the type of year we've had. It sums it up. But I don't really know if it was all that soft at Goodwood. You know, the times on the day would suggest it wasn't. I don't think it was bottomless anyway, I put it to you that way. And I just think overall, Fairy Cross, the run last time at Sandown, she did things a little bit inefficiently, but she still ran a big race against a mare that's, or affiliates bred to stay big time in Dancing the Grass. And, you know, impressive previously at Newmarket. And just getting out of soft ground for the first time, I think it could suit her. She's Baidu Bowie out of Devonshire. Devonshire, a really good filly for William McCreary over here. She won a Group 2 and was third in an Irish Guineas. But she really handled the knees in the ground. That brought out the best in her. So I wouldn't be surprised if it did similar here for Fairy Cross. And I know there'll be a bit of hype here as well about the debut winner, Bright Diamond, for Carl Burke. Won by 9 lengths on debut. Won really well. But it's nearly one of those performances, I won't say too good to be true, but she's got to back that up here. And I think it's a fairly hefty level that's set by Fairy Cross on the back of a second in a listed race last time. So I think Fairy Cross will probably take the beating.
Let's move on now to the 3 o'clock. I know the 2:25 at Goodwood, pardon me. It's the William Hill Handicap over 7 furlongs. Wide open contest this. Auburn, favourite 4-1. Takarib Bay is 11-2. Lyndon B is 13-2. Udalali 15-2, as is Ross Colin, and it's 12-1 bar. And Mark, you're going first.
Yeah, not one of my stronger ones the weekend, but I thought Udalali was a fair price around the 8-1 mark. Doesn't mind a bit of ease in the ground. Not the most exposed at ease. You know, as Tony, two visits to Goodwood in the past, second in a hot handicap and won the other start. One angle I do like is that, you know, been ridden by claimers in the last 6 starts. Now William Buick gets up for the first time. I tend to like that angle with horses. I think he's on a competitive mark, but he's had a wind up in the past, but just it dents my confidence slightly. So Udalali if he pushed me, but wouldn't be my strongest shout.
Okay, what about you, Rob?
I quite like Ross Colin here. I mean, he was a bit disappointing at York last time, but I don't think York's his track at all. And if you go back to his previous run in the Golden Mile at Goodwood here a few weeks ago, he was a really eye-catching seventh that day. He was drawn, that's a race where you just don't want to be drawn wide. He was coming from 18. And it just all happened for him a bit too late when he got out. He's only beaten 4 3/4 lengths by Auburn. He's much better off today. He's been dropped £3 since. And yeah, he's just run a lot of good races at Goodwood. So I think Ross Colin can definitely overturn Auburn.
Okay, the feature of the other two races at Goodwood is tiny weeny field sizes. The 3 o'clock, the William Hill March Stakes run in memory of John Dunlop. Over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. And the Derby runner-up, Hu Yamal, heads a four-runner field at fours on. It's 4-1 Perfect Alibi, 16 Animato, 250-1 Pink Fire Lily. Not the most exciting heat on paper, this, Rob. I mean, Hu Yamal's obviously going to be primed for the St. Ledger. Do you think he'll win this as he likes and then go to Doncaster with a slightly shorter price?
I think so, yeah, but I feel like bookmakers shouldn't overreact if he does win by a wide margin here because he is entitled to on form. I mean, to be fair to Perfect Alibi, on RPR, she's not actually a million miles away from a sort of typical winner of this, but she is meeting a horse who has got Group 1 form in Hu Yamal. I mean, he should really be winning this quite easily. And then the other two, it's really impossible to make a case for. They're rated 84. I mean, he should win easily, but I just hope the bookmakers don't overreact to his ledger prospects because he's entitled to it.
Okay, thank you very much. We got the gist of that from Robbie. What about you, Mark? How far will Hu Yamal win?
Yeah, it is a penalty kick for him. He should win by a margin. I'm not a man for distance betting, but yeah, he should win. I mean, the one thing I'll be watching here that'll probably make the race more interesting is to see how Pink Fire Lily goes, number 4, trained by John O'Neill in County Clare over here. He'd be a very, very infrequent visitor to Britain, but actually, I was going back through, you know, records. He doesn't even have many runners in the flat at all over here. But if he was to pull off Black Type with this filly getting her in the first three, I think it'd illustrate just how ridiculous the Black Type system can be. Because, you know, with all due respect to her, and fair enough, she might improve for coming up in distance here. She isn't a filly I'd be banking on to win a handicap off 64 over here necessarily. Even so, to spot a race like this where you have a chance that even if one of these doesn't happen to make it to the track on Saturday to get automatic Black Type, I mean, fair play for the, you know, thought here to have a go and identify a small field. So that'll make it interesting for me, but Hu Yamal will win, all been well.
There are many ludicrous things about racing, but the fact that Black Type is still a thing is right at the top of it, isn't it? I mean, just for those who are wondering what I mean, basically when a female horse goes through the to the sales ring, or if its progeny indeed do, then the fact that she's got Black Type, which means finishing third or better in a listed race or a race of a particular standard, it's sort of, it jumps off the page because literally they do put it in black type. But anyone who's spending 5, 6, 7 figures on a racehorse is obviously delving into that a bit more and are going to be able to tell the difference between cheap black type and non-cheap black type. It's just crazy how it's still a thing, but there you go. Right, then finally, the 3:35 at Goodwood is the William Hill Celebration Mile. It's a Group 2. All week we've been fretting about the fact there's only five runners, but at least that we still have five runners. Those original quintet from the five-day stage have all stood their ground. And Muta Sarbeck is favourite, clear favourite at 11-10. Jadumi 7-2, good old Escobar 11-2, 15-2, Finest Sound. And 10, Stormy Antarctic. Mark, you can go first here. Do you like the favourite or are you going to look elsewhere?
I hate to be boring, but I just think the favourite's going to win. He's got an awful lot of class. Maybe he's not the hardiest boy I've ever seen, but I still think he's just going to be too good for these. He'll travel up well. He handles soft ground. Yeah, Muta Sarbeck for me.
Talking of not the hardiest boy, Rob?
What's that supposed to mean?
Jesus, shut
I just
fire.
Said I didn't mind getting wet yesterday. I think
Ant Middleton went out for a bike ride and got a little bit
of damage. Our warrior.
Don't question my mental strength, mate. Yeah. I think Muta Sarbeck's a massive layer.
Okay.
I mean, he was 8-9 in this last season in a much stronger race, and I'm just not sure about him on downhill tracks. Really, he got really unbalanced at Epsom. In the Diomede Stakes, I'm not sure he's as far clear as everyone thinks. I think Jadumi can really serve up to him. I mean, it's obviously soft ground. I know he's won on soft, but this Jadumi really, really does like it with a bit of ease. Beaten into third in a Group One on heavy in France as a 2-year-old. Bolted up by 7 lengths on heavy at Longchamp as a 2-year-old. We haven't seen him much since, but I thought it was a really good comeback at Clairefontaine in a listed race. He's beaten Bergerita there. That's quite a highly rated filly of Andre Farb's. She's come out and not been beaten far in the Prix-Jean Romanée. Yeah, I just think this is quite an unexposed horse. There should be quite a lot more to come. I'd like to see him get on with it from the front because there's not too much pace in there. That's what I will say. But yeah, I think Muta Sarbeck is definitely there to be taken on.
Splendid. That was the TV action. We've got loads more weekend tips coming right up for you.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club. Featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the postcast from the Racing Post with Bruce Millington, Mark Boylan and Robbie Wilders. We've done the 8 ITV races on Saturday. Now let's see what else the boys fancy. There's loads more meetings all over the place, as there always is every Saturday. And we've also got on Sunday ITV racing from Goodwood and Beverley. So we'll start with you, Mark. I think you might have sussed one in a big handicap this weekend, haven't you?
God, I hope so. The Irish Cambridgeshire... I sound like certain trainers here, but it's a race I've had a little bit of luck in the last few years at sort of okay prices. And one I like this year is Monasib, trained by Kevin Prendergast. The Irish Cambridgeshire is on at 4:15 on Saturday at the Curragh. And yeah, Monasib, he's down to 98. Okay, he's one of the higher weights in the race, but go back to his early form at 2 and even early stage of his 3-year-old season. Like he showed that he can handle big fields in a big sales race at Nace. He actually had State Arrest and Munista behind him. And then he's just chinned by High Definition in a Beresford. He traded 101 in running. And even he starts his 3-year-old season last year by beating only a length and a half by Poetic Flair. So that's a really, really high level of form early on. But the wheels just slightly came off after that. And just early this season, he's given a break. His first start back at Cork. Hard to get involved from off the pace, I thought, in that race. But he ran on well. He's only beaten a handful of lengths. And then at Galway, it was a disaster. I was actually doing the preview for the race, speaking to Kevin Prendergast. And you know, the draw in stall 17, they knew that it was going to be a no-go pretty much from there. He tried, but he was out of his ground very early on. It didn't happen. I just think you're going to get, this is the first chance he kind of has to show whether he actually retains any of the old spark. Like, in the course of 5 runs, the handicapper has dropped him from 1-1-1 to 98. I think that's, you know, giving him a reasonable chance here. He's drawn in stall 22 as well, and I think we've had 4 winners from the last 6 or so that have been kind of 19 or higher stalls wise, so that should be fine as well. I think he's in kind of a right place where pace will be too. So he's 40-1 there, and I see 7 places knocking about at 40-1. I I couldn't put you off a stab with that. Look at, if he's not retaining the old ability, fair enough, but he's still only four, and just think decent ground as well. There's enough in his favour there to think he'll run well. And otherwise on the card, another one I'd like to give a mention to as well, I think in the 155, Shelton, trained by Paddy Toomey. Like a stat with Paddy, like he's obviously taken everybody by storm over here in Ireland, what he's doing. But of his winners in Ireland and England in the last two seasons, like 1 in 3 have come in stakes races, like this, that are group races, which is just, you know, pretty insane for a guy with, you know, starting off relatively kind of small numbers early on. I know he's expanding, but he runs Shelton in this race, the 155, the Newton Anner Stud Stakes. I see 7-2 available at the minute, and if she's the colour of that on the day, I'd be very surprised. I think she's entitled to go very, very close. If you know, she should win this. I think there's a few of them that have shown promise, all right, in maidens and things like that. But I thought the way she won last time, she could be bound for being a proper group filly this season into next season. So Shelton in the 155 at the Curragh, and in the 415, the Irish Cambridgeshire, I'll have a stab at Monaseb each way.
40-1, love that. Great summary there, Mark. Good luck with those two. Robbie, what have you got for us?
Yeah, got one for us, Bruce, at the 350 at Newmarket. Nahani. Now, this horse has been gelded for Charlie Appleby. He's not run since he was flopped at Hamilton Listed Race. But, I mean, punters will remember that he ran the Queen's Vase, he ran the Derby before that. I mean, there's ability there. But I just think it's interesting he's been stepped up in trip again to 1 mile 6. And Charlie Appleby's used a lot of these handicaps this season to good effect with some of his better colts. I mean, we saw Secret State and New London, obviously a couple of ledger hopes there. They've gone on after winning decent handicaps. So I think it's too early to give up on Nahani. He's open about 5-1. I think that's perfectly fair. He sort of reminds me of Yabir last year. Yabir sort of turned his career around after being gelded. So I could see the same thing happening on Saturday at Newmarket.
Lovely stuff. Right, and did you have a chance to have a look at Sunday as well, Robbie?
Yeah, I did, Bruce. Yeah, I quite like the 355 at Goodwood on Sunday, the Supreme Stakes. Double or Bubble is a mare that I've really liked this season. I actually backed her for the Hungford Stakes last time, but she was withdrawn at the last minute. I think this looks a much weaker race, to be honest. I think there's a class edge. They're talking about going to Japan with her after this. So, yeah, I think she should have too much from the likes of Happy Power and Misty Gray.
Lovely stuff. All that remains then is to get the weekend naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Robbie Wilders.
The nap is 3:35 at Goodwood in the Celebration Mile. Jadumi, take on Mutsabek.
Thank you. And Mark, what have you got?
One I haven't mentioned at the Curragh, but again, I'm hoping for a good weekend for Paddy Toomey here. The 2:30, the Round Tower Stakes. I thought Treasure Trove, who won at York last week, I thought she'd be the one to beat there. Some really, really solid form in listed races, group races. And, you know, she takes on horses here, those that have won maidens, let's say. Some of them need to come back from disappointing runs last time. And others that have won maidens, let's say, they have never been tested in group or listed company. Whereas Treasure Trove, I think 5 of her 7 starts have come in stakes company. She's really battle hardened. Stepping up to 6 furlongs is only going to help her. And I thought if she reproduced that and like what she showed last week at York, she'd be the one to beat. The Treasure Trove for me on Saturday at the Curragh in the 2:30.
Fantastic stuff. Many thanks, gents. Many thank you for listening. Don't forget to have a great weekend and always bet responsibly. Download the Racing Post app. If you haven't, you can get that from the App Store and on Google Play. And join us next week. We've got Sam Hart on Monday looking back at the weekend action. And then we're back next Friday to look ahead to some more brilliant racing. So great postcasters next week. Stick with us.